When I logged on to the Daily Maverick at about 6:30 this morning and saw their lead story, which was a plan to spend just over a third of SA Tourism's budget over the next 3 years on what would be a 1 billion rand sponsorship of the Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, I went, it's the 1st of February. It's not the 1st of April. Have the Daily Maverick got that wrong? Are they doing a very, very early April Fool's gag on us? But read through it, and no, it's serious. And Rebecca has just in the last couple of minutes filed a follow-up to that story, which says public concern builds as Lindiwe Sisulu confirms the Spurs deal is on the table but denies championing it. And Rebecca is with us now via Zoom. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, John.
I'm not sure how relevant Lindiwe Sisulu's championing of it is. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. But it is unarguable because she and SA Tourism have conceded that there is such a plan and that this plan is well advanced.
That seems correct. And in fact, we had The spokesperson, Steve Motale, has been on at various media outlets today saying that the minister has known about this proposal for a couple of months, but still claiming she's not been briefed formally. But yes, everything we're hearing and my sources are telling me, John, that there is a delegation from SA Tourism, which was preparing to leave tomorrow, Thursday, for an inking of some kind of the deal on Friday. I say some kind of deal because Minister Sisulu has now come back to say this isn't a sponsorship agreement, it's a memorandum of understanding. There's good reason to think that that is nonsense, but nevertheless, we believe that whatever the deal was, it is quite advanced.
And you have seen two different versions, one rather more glossy and full of detail than the other, of PowerPoint presentations which set this out.
That is correct. So the first seems, judging by what it says, to have been presented to the SA Tourism Board by the acting CEO, Thebe Khumalo, last week, 27th January 2023. The second one, as far as I know, was presented to the board last night at a meeting they held. And Minister Sisulu, we know, was briefed by the CEO before the meeting. What the two presentations do is lay out the benefits of what would be a £42.5 million sponsorship deal over 3 years with the option to renew for a further year. So that is over 900,000. Over 900, you can say it for me, John.
We'll get Jacob Zuma to say it for us, why don't we?
It is close to a million. It is close to a million rand. And for that money, SA Tourism will get such benefits as logos on the sleeves of the players, because Spurs, as I understand, actually already have a big partner, a big sponsor partner. So this isn't even their main sponsorship. So they would get logo on the Spurs players' sleeves. South Africa would have the very great honor of hosting the Spurs' first team in a training camp, would get some degree of logo on stadia, and of course the good stuff, the stadium hospitality tickets and the rest of it.
I read this through, and once my outrage had settled and my gorge had dropped, I started to go, okay, it's too easy to respond with outrage. Might this deal make sense? Might the level of exposure that South Africa would get around the world, would it make sense? And I remembered that Arsenal have Visit Rwanda on the sleeves of their shirts, and I remembered how there was a tiny bit of controversy in Rwanda about this, because it was the decision of Paul Kagame rather than the decision of Rwandan tourism. And you don't come up with a lot of upset when it's an idea of Paul Kagame's. You just go, yes, sir. And I tried to do some research about whether there was any work which suggested that the amount of money that Rwanda is spending on its shirt sponsorship with Arsenal has benefited them in any meaningful, measurable way. And I couldn't find anything. And I must talk to a sports marketing person, still try and get one of them on the radio tomorrow afternoon. But it just, Rebecca, doesn't make sense to me that we put...
Let me just say, so I think from what I understand from talking to tourism experts, the benefit of the Rwanda deal is that because British people sometimes tend to be fairly insular in terms of their geography and the rest of it, Rwanda was actually barely known as an entity, as a country, as a tourist destination in South Africa. So the idea that you'd have Visit Rwanda on stadia around Arsenal, on the team, etc., made a certain degree of sense, even though we know it was also pushed forward by President Kagame because he just loves Arsenal. But it made sense because Arsenal, because Rwanda was unknown as a destination. Now, all the tourism experts I've spoken to have said this is a completely different situation. South Africa is already very well known as a tourist destination from the UK, where the Tottenham Hotspur's base is, of course. It's already a leading destination in Africa. It doesn't need that kind of profile as a tourism destination. Not to mention that it is a use of over one third, 36% of SA Tourism's total budget. I mean, this is the thing, John, that this deal is being inked at a time when there isn't a permanent CEO or CFO of SA Tourism. Imagine being the poor suckers coming into that job in a few months' time, realizing that your hands are tied so drastically because your forebears have signed these deals which effectively tie up most of your funds. I mean, a third of your entire budget. It is very hard to find the numbers, as you've said, on what Rwanda is getting out of the Arsenal deal. Nonetheless, the context isn't the same. And I have yet to hear a branding expert, a tourism expert say that this is worth it from return of investment perspective for South Africa.
Yeah, and SA Tourism has said to you that it's not putting all our eggs in one basket because we're only putting 36% of our eggs in the Spurs basket, which means we've got 64% to divide up amongst the other baskets. But it's not a convincing argument. And now we see what happens. There is significant outrage about this. And do they take note? And do they default to, it was just an idea that we put forward, and yes, it was a highly developed idea, because if you're going to discuss ideas, they do need to be highly developed, but we've had a look at it again, and we factored in what some of the critics of the deal have been saying, and we've decided, because those are the kinds of people we are, we take on board what contributions other people make in the space, and therefore we have decided to withdraw the proposal. I mean,
well, John, I will say that for a proposal that, yes, they may well claim is, you know, not as baked as it seems to be, they have to make the first initial payment, which is a suspicious agency fee upfront by 31st of March. The deal to kick in, everything to be paid, all deliverables to be actioned by 31st of March for this to kick in in June. So if they are to take it off the table now, I think it is clear that it would be in response to public outrage. And frankly, that's what we hope, right? Certainly what I hoped writing the article, that this will go the same way as the giant flag proposal from the Department of Arts and Culture last year. That once it is clear that the public is really unhappy about this use of funds, once tourism experts stand up and say, come on, we can think of better ways to spend our marketing budget, then surely an idea like this would have to be rethought.
I certainly hope so. And because you were so absent for so many weeks for Plan B, I hope you don't mind that we're getting you twice in 1 week.
The pleasure is all mine, John.
Thank you, Rebecca. We'll chat again tomorrow afternoon.
Cheerio.
Bye-bye.